You're listening to the Bathtub Refinishing Podcast. Powered by Bathtub Guys Refinishing. We discuss the refinishing industry, interview owners and operators, and give tips to business owners and entrepreneurs. Now, here's your host, Daniel Montalvo.
Guys, we're back on the podcast. All right, so what I wanted to talk about here while I'm live on Refinish Bath Solutions page, I put out some videos, you know, some talking head stuff. And one of the topics that I actually put up a video about yesterday was about like how word of mouth is not enough. I'm going to elaborate a little bit on that today. And then the other part I'm going to be talking about is the importance of branding, but not just like branding, like, hey, my cool, nice logo, my website, all that stuff. That's all stuff that's like a given. It's that little bit of an extra step, the little bit of an extra mile that you, you know, should go as a business owner if you want to differentiate yourself. So let's start with that. I think that one of the biggest game-changing things for our business here at Bathtub Guys in particular was that we elevated when it coincided with when I started to become more comfortable on camera and when I started like putting my face out there more. It's silly because it seems like it almost doesn't matter. And a lot of people run successful operations without doing much of this kind of a thing, right? So it's definitely not something you need to do, but it is something that I believe elevates your brand. What it does is, number one, it gives you instant credibility, right? When you show your face, show that an actual person works here, that you're a real human being, instant credibility. When people go and look at your competitors, especially in the refinishing world, everyone is just like before and afters all day long. And so I talked about this a little bit with Danny Garcia and Ruben the other day, but again, when everyone's on the same playing field, they only are thinking about price. If you differentiate yourself in that way where you establish a face to the brand, then people start seeing you as the person that they're dealing with. And they take it a little bit more serious. They humanize you a little bit more. A lot of people, you know, we used to deal with this all the time, but in the beginning, before we branded ourselves well, where people were, they would refuse to give us deposits. They would refuse to, commit hard to us because there is so much like gray area and like weird fly by night stuff that goes on in the contractor world in general, let alone the refinishing industry. Like there's a lot of great people. I've met a lot of people. I love all you guys, but there's a segment of the industry that is like, you know, unsavory characters, and like people are, you know, they feel weird about committing money before you do the job or trusting somebody. So instant credibility is number one. Number two, and the other thing I always think about with this is like, it says something about you that you're confident in what you're saying and that you are willing to put yourself out there, right? Like at the end of the day, just the act of doing things that other people wouldn't do, it kind of puts you on a pedestal. It puts you where they like appreciate what you're doing and they look at it a little bit closer. And in all honesty, I feel like when you do that and when you position yourself as the guy that's not afraid to get out of his comfort zone a little bit, that just, it gives you like aura. That's like the best way for me to describe it. Right. And I hate to compare the two because they are different, but like, why do people admire like artists or podcast hosts or any of these number of different like professions? I think part of it has to do with the fact that they don't care how it's received. They're putting themselves out there. And by putting yourself out there, you're opening yourself up to scrutiny. You're opening yourself up to judgment and all these other things that come with that. But having the confidence to put yourself out there is like a big deal. And I think that when you're a customer and you're looking at, you know, who to hire, seeing somebody who believes in what they say, full stop is definitely different. And at the very least, you differentiate yourself from competitors that way. Another thing that I think, you know, why it's valuable and why you should do it is, I think that, you know, there's a lot to be said for, it's not just like brand credibility and, you know, the other part of it that I mentioned where you're putting yourself out there and that confidence, but it's good for you, right? It's good for you as a business owner to kind of have these situations where you're talking to a camera, which is like literally awkward because like you're talking to nobody, but you're talking to a bunch of people. It's limitless the amount of people you can reach on the internet, right? But what it's going to help you is in your personal development. When you get in these situations where it's high leverage, high stakes, pressure situations, I mean, if you can talk credibly to a camera lens where that can be seen by millions of people, it's going to become a lot easier to kind of flex that skill when you're in a position of high leverage, whether it's like negotiating a big contract or, you know, hiring somebody and, you know, you need to establish that like dominance and like, no, like this is my thing and you're here to work for me. Practicing and kind of sharpening the iron and honing in on that skill of talking and communicating is another reason why I feel like it is a good idea to put yourself out there. Again, if you can talk to a camera lens comfortably, it's going to be a heck of a lot easier to be an effective communicator when it comes to, you know, negotiating a contract or talking to new hires, business partnerships, things like that. And in all honesty, you know, my people, like I, for those of you who don't know, I'm Hispanic and white, but you know, my family is Puerto Rican and Cuban. My grandfather was American. And I was born in America, but my parents are both Hispanic, you know, especially for people like us who are of Latino descent, like you need to sharpen up those skills of communicating because sometimes you are talking to people in higher positions and you need to make sure you're an effective communicator. And how are you going to get to that point where you can effectively articulate yourself if you're not exercising it? You need to flex that muscle. You need to, you know, get on there and have these situations where you're practicing your speech, practicing your words, talking effectively, and those things will lead to more success. So it is a multitude. There's a multitude of reasons why that is something that I definitely recommend. More so than anything, though, the first thing you're going to feel is that credibility come in, that you show your face, but the other parts of it are just as important. So, another thing that I wanted to talk about today, guys, is I know people always ask me about like, you know, our systems and processes in particular. We're working on something cool that I think is going to be of interest for you guys in particular. We get asked about, you know, like right now we use Jobber for our platform for like scheduling, invoicing, quoting, all of that. You know, and like I came to the realization that like, I'm paying like $300 a month for the Jobber Grow or whatever it is. It is very expensive. Is it worth it? Like kind of, but not really, because these are like very rudimentary things that I need the system to do. It's stupid, but like it is the only system that does them all well. But internally, like I was like, dude, why can't we just make our own like software? Why can't we just make our own Jobber? So I looked into it and funny enough, shout out to Tim. I actually have my sister's husband he works for like Stanley Black & Decker and another company doing like IT work, but he has a good idea of how to code this stuff and how to make it legit. So he's working on like our own proprietary like field management software. It's going to be really cool. It's going to be designed from the ground up to be like for a bathtub refinishing company in particular. So it's the first of its kind of for that, which I'm excited about. And I wanted to share that with you guys because if people ask me what I use all the time, it is a myriad of different things and it has to be that way. You know, we quote, schedule, and invoice through Jobber. Jobber, of course, has Jobber payments, so we don't have to use a third party to collect the payments. It's like through Stripe, but it's all under Jobber payments. But then like we have accountants for accounting. I don't use QuickBooks or anything like that because in all honesty, I don't have the patience nor the desire to try and figure out my tax situation myself, because I really don't want the IRS to come knocking and, you know, like audit me or something like that and me not be prepared for it. Those systems are really good when you're starting out. Like when I started, I'd use QuickBooks Online, but it gets out of hand when you start to scale. You didn't put in the receipt. Somebody didn't send you the picture of the receipt. You didn't clear that invoice. There's too much stuff going on in that system, in my opinion, for what we do. And there's a lot of stuff that's not relevant to what we do. Right now, using Jobber, I've customized it to the point where it kind of fits the needs. But with this custom system, everything's going to be built for our industry in particular. And I'm really, really excited about that. Another thing I wanted to mention to you guys, and this is something that is of value. So if you guys, you know, again, we're trying to get people onboarded to Tubcast, partner with Refinish Bass Solutions. I mentioned that. I've been mentioning that the entire time. Shameless plug. I know. Yeah. Get through it. You know, I do my best to give you guys free knowledge, but hear me out. There's some stuff of value here, right? With Refinish Bass Solutions and what we're doing, partnering with them, and you know, them partnering with other refinishing companies now. Which by the way, for those of you asking, yes, you could still, you know, get a Bathtub Guys location if that's what you want. You know, I if that's what you want, you can do that. But these things are all going to be part of that umbrella, right? So instead of, you know, going and paying $300 for Jobber, like we have a system that's built for the ground up for what we do, and we run crews and we have a whole operation. It's something that could be beneficial to you. There's going to be ways to order product through that system. You know, there's going to be field management, inventory management, and something that we've been working on internally here. And I've kind of spearheaded this and built the system myself for now, but we're going to get it real legit and like really made soon, is this instant booking, like book it now feature. What we've actually done, I'll share with you guys a little bit, because it has been a while since I've been on a solo podcast. There's a lot of stuff I got to talk about with you guys. And before I get to story time about a specific customer, but we actually started piloting a program where we are testing out tiers of service, right? So think of it like when you go to like a car wash, right? They usually give you like an entry level, a mid level, and then the premium. The premium is usually priced very high. Medium is like barely above the budget option. So you usually go with the medium, or, you know, you're like, dang, I'm already there. I might as well upgrade to this other one. Depending on how much you care about it, right? We've kind of like done a similar thing. I actually got this idea from Alex Ramosi. I watch his stuff all the time. And he was saying that if you're in a service that, you know, you're selling yourself short, not offering options, a couple things that it does. What it does in the immediate is that it makes customers kind of, it puts them in choose mode. So they see three options and mentally they're choosing one. They're choosing the one that works best for them. So if you can get that information out of them, whether they just flat out tell you or whether you have to pry a little bit and be like, hey, which one are you considering? There is kind of like the sale's almost done at that point, right? Because instead of having to shop around four bids, you're giving them three options at three different price points with three different value propositions. They're going to find the one that fits them the best. And then at that point, it's just like, hey, well, you know, if that's the one that works for you, what day can we do it? And, you know, you want to place your deposit? Like, the sale becomes easier. So we've piloted the program. It has gone fairly well so far. I mean, we've closed about the same rate we were closing before. There's a few things we're going to tighten up, but this goes hand in hand with the booking stuff. So bear with me for a second. First tier of service is like, first of all, every tier of service is like almost all inclusive. The things that vary are like tangible things that don't really matter that much to the final product, right? So we're not half-assing it just because, you know, the first option is an entry level. The entry level option, we're pricing it like low. It's like 400-ish bucks, depending on, you know, how we feel pricing it. But it's going to be the budget option, 1-year warranty, but it includes everything, right? Stripping, non-slip, the whole nine. but it's a 1-year warranty. The second tier option, right? So we're having silver, then we have gold. Our gold option, which is the most popular one, it's going to include all of the other stuff that's included in that system, right? So we're going to have, well, the first one doesn't include non-slip because, again, that's a tangible. It's not necessarily the job. It's just like a nice little add-on. Second tier option is going to have, you know, the full refinish, strip, all of that, anything that's necessary to do the job, plus the non-skip, this non-slip is going to be included. And then on top of that, a 5-year warranty, which is the industry standard. It's priced a little bit higher, but we're giving people the option, right? Like if you are a house flipper, you're going to gravitate to that first budget option. If it's a place that you live, but maybe, you know, the high tier or something very expensive is out of your budget and you just want something that's going to last 5 years, you know, and that's not to say it's going to last 5 years, but you only care about us being committed to you for 5 years is what I'm getting at. Then that is, you know, that could definitely be an option for you. And then the high tier option, which is our diamond package. Again, everything that's needed to do the service is included, right? The other ones have caulking included, but it is, you know, your regular, you know, latex based acrylic caulking, like the regular stuff. This high tier option would be everything, right? Tub with the paint, we're stripping it, painting it, you know, doing all of that, refinishing it. But we're going to include a next day detail, right? Non-slip is in there too, but we're going to do the next day where we come in buff polish and then we seal everything with like actual Supreme silicone. So like 100% silicone. And then we also are going to, we're going to seal everything with a ceramic coating. The ceramic coating is really, really good stuff. Refinished Bath Solutions actually makes it too. And it is like ceramic coating a car. It's going to provide better durability and make it easier to clean long-term. It also helps with the UV resistance. Although the UV resistance on this product is fantastic, this helps. And it helping is not a bad thing. You know what I mean? So that is like what we're doing and how it goes hand in hand. Sorry about the long tangent, guys, but I wanted to make sure you fully understood what we're doing here. It goes hand in hand with the booking stuff because we have been thinking for a long time, how can we be very efficient for the people who just don't want to talk to a human being, who just want to click a button and order a service. So they want the DoorDash experience. They want the Uber Eats experience. They want to click some buttons and order a human being to their home to refinish the tub. It's something that I've dreamt about a long time. Me and Patrick have dreamt about it a long time. Patrick from Refinish Bath Solutions. We talked about it and I implemented a system where we made our booking site able to do that. It is able to process orders that way. And it only works because I thought about this tiered system from that I learned about Alex Ramosi. Because for a long time, I was like, well, how are we going to handle stripping? How would a customer know if the tub needs to be stripped or not, or the tile or whatever? But what we've done is we've positioned these services in a way where we're pricing them at the bare minimum we're willing to do it for, the ideal range we're looking to do it for, and the absolute most we're going to do it for while still being fair. That is the silver, gold, and diamond. Now, obviously, people out there might be like, well, the least you'll do it for, well, it varies, whatever. Well, everyone has a floor. You know what the floor is. You also kind of have an idea of what the ceiling is. Like, let's be real. Especially when you're like doing bathtub refinishing, there's only so many types of tubs and tiles and showers. And obviously, if it's something crazy we haven't seen before, like we're going to vet it, you know, like on the booking site, we have a little thing there. It says, you know, make sure it's like more or less like the picture. But again, I like to do things for the 99%. And 99% of bathrooms are standard, guys. Like they're going to be more or less the same. So we're offering what our lowest, like we do this job the lowest, but we're going to take something away. We're not just going to give you the lifetime warranty if you don't want it. If you want a budget job, then you can book it now at this price. And you can book a slightly better job at that price. And you can book the ultimate premium top of the line at the highest tiered price. Believe it or not, we have sold like one budget job. Everything else has been gold and diamond. And diamond is outpacing gold 2-1. Just so that you guys know. It is absolutely insane. We charged $850 for one bathtub the other day. And we the first day we piloted this program, by the way, we sold two tub and surrounds for $1,500 a piece with lifetime warranty, which again, you know, depending on the market, things can differ. But traditionally, we're like around $1,000 or less for those if they're like in great condition. These were in great condition, no strips, nothing. The price doesn't change whether it needs to be stripped or not. That is the price. That's how we're doing it. Because what I'm trying to do is kind of like, I'm trying to make it to where, like, I'm trying to systemize everything, right? Like, hey, you want a service? This is what the service costs. And this is how it's going to, like, this is how it's going to play out. We're going to include everything. We'll include everything at this price. And you only got to decide if you want this warranty, that warranty, or the other warranty, and these few couple extras. But everything that's pivotal to do the job is included. So it's working well. And with the Book It Now feature, if you guys come along with what we're doing with RBS, like, it's going to be a really, really cool system, because it's going to allow you to book jobs while you sleep. It's going to allow you to have customers choose the time and day. You could manually block off which days are available or not for your people, for your technicians, but you can have people book the job whenever. If you're asleep, it's nighttime, and they want to book a service because they're busy, they can do that. They can order the service, place a deposit, do everything without having to talk to a person. And then all you have to do is confirm the appointment. So you manually confirm the appointment after you have all their info, including the card info, so you can charge a deposit. And then all you got to do is send them a quick text saying, hey, can you send me a picture of your thing just to confirm? As soon as you get that, you go, you confirm it, and then you're good. So definitely, definitely worth it. I think that's going to be like a huge value add for what, you know, what we're doing for the residential people, especially. But we are going to work on a system for when we get the big system made, that's going to be hand in hand with, you know, the field management stuff, something for the multifamily world that's going to be like super cool, where they can just order the service without having to talk to you. And you guys know, like, guys who do commercial, you guys know maintenance guys and engineers and hotels are busy people. So if they can click some buttons and order you, they'd probably rather do that than to hop on the phone, because they probably have to call 15,000 vendors a day. And the tub thing isn't necessarily always a priority, right? So that's what we're doing. Again, if you guys are interested in that, like I said, you know, RBS is looking to partner with people, companies out there that want to grow their business, everything from, you know, cash infusion, if that's something that you need, help with marketing, help with branding. Those are all things we're looking at helping people with. And I think it's going to be good. Also, if you guys, like I said, if you guys are still interested, I get people asking me, I got like three people asking me yesterday about Bathtub Guys locations. If that's something that you want to, we can work it out. It's not something that I'm going to be, you know, like, I'll lend you the brand and you go and run the thing, and like, we could work it out like that, whatever you want to do. If you want me to be more involved, obviously it'll cost more, but there's ways we can work it out. But what we're really looking to do is add people to the Tubcast family, lockdown locations, and, you know, so you can enjoy the exclusivity. All right, guys. So this is going to be the part where I end the live. Bye-bye live, because I'm going to jump into the exclusive part of this whole thing. Catch the podcast. This one is probably going to come out next week on Thursday. All right. Story time about, I mean, absolutely horrendous customer experience. I'm not going to say his name, but I'm going to say his last name. His last name was Cherry. This guy was, he was something else, man. It's a great, great story. It's going to be fun. We're going to talk about that on the podcast exclusively, guys. So I'll see you guys later. Make sure you guys tune in to episode 63 coming out next Thursday, Refinish Bath Solutions on YouTube or wherever you get podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all of that. See you guys later. Bye-bye. All right, guys. So we ended the live real quick. So story time. Man, we had this client, man. It was funny. This was a time in my business with Bathtub Guys where we kind of needed every job that came in. And we would sometimes work out these deals with home investors or like house flippers that, in all honesty, like, I would never even sniff that direction nowadays, because I learned the hard way that they tend to be the pickiest people with the tightest like wallets. They don't want to spend the money, but they also have these crazy high expectations of how the job should come out. We did a job for a gentleman, last name Cherry. I'm not going to say his name. I've probably talked about it before, but we're going to talk about it a little bit more in depth. We agreed to do a crazy job for this guy for almost no money. It was actually ridiculous how stupid low I charged. We did a bathtub and tile. We did a tub enclosure, so like a one-piece fiberglass tub and surround. We did a garden tub with all the tile trim. I'm talking about it has like that big like wraparound garden tub with tile and then like the one that wraps around the top trim and the bottom trim. And it flows all the way into the shower. So it's one of those big like master bathrooms with the tub, the shower, all that stuff. We did all of that. Plus we did his kitchen countertops. These were big. I would say like 6 feet on one side and like 5.5 feet on the other side. So it was a lot of counter plus the bar top and all the bathroom vanities. So 3 bathroom vanities. We did this job for the low, low price of $1,800. I mean, I cannot even, it gives me like cancer just thinking about it, man. Like I don't know. It's crazy that we charged that cheap. But at the time, we justified it because we were like, if we have 2 guys over there, get it done in a day, that we can justify the day. And also the guy was adamant about, I want the cheapest bid because I'm going to sell this place. I just need it to look better than what it is. Everything was really ugly and like yellowing and all that stuff. Just old, but it wasn't like, it didn't need strip or anything like that. So we're like, okay, well, you know, we need the work. Let's go do it. We try to aim for like $1,000 a day per guy, but we sent 2 guys at it. Funny enough, my brother Alex went to this job and another technician who's still here with us, by the way. But dude, we get over there, do the work, and the work part like comes out great. I actually posted content of it. It was some of the first posts that we made. The kitchen counters came out beautiful, tub and surround, all of that. But the guy, man, this guy, he was a character, man. Like, he was definitely like a little like a little arrogant. And like, so I have a technician, not to make it like a whole racial thing, but I have a technician who's black. His name's Ralph. Really, really nice guy, sweet guy. He's worked here for years. Ralph put, like, he asked the guy if he could put his water bottle in the refrigerator, and the guy told him yes. And later when Ralph took the water bottle out, this guy came and put a chain around the refrigerator and locked it. Just random, weird, just weird behavior. But anyway, I digress. It's not that serious. I don't know what that was about, but it did seem kind of like motivating in some way. I don't know why he would put a chain around. It was just weird. But what ended up happening was this guy was like being kind of a douche. He was being very arrogant and like mean to the guys while they were doing the work. At the end, he said he loved everything, but he like made them be there like maybe 2.5-3 hours extra than what really needed to be, because he was, you know, nitpicking and all that stuff. So we made him happy in the end. He was happy with everything, but he gave the guys a hard time and was being like mean about it. So if this guy didn't get instant karma, I mean, we were told the guy, hey, we're going to come back tomorrow and caulk it. We're going to be in the area. You could pay up then. That was a mistake. I should have collected it right away, but I wanted to, have a good faith. Like, hey, you know, you could pay us when everything is done. That night, I just had this feeling. We told them, he kept asking us, like, how long does it take to dry? 24 hours. Okay, yeah. I don't even live here. Something told me something was off, man, because I just felt it. I felt like it felt weird. It felt like the guy was just like, I don't know. He was just a weird guy. The next morning at like 6:30 in the morning, I'm getting spam text messages, one after the other, saying, I'm going to sue you. This is unacceptable. This came out horrible. I don't even know what you guys did here. Like what? Like, we literally walked everything together. He loved the job in the end. He was a tough nut to crack. So I was like, what changed? Did you just like not like it after we left? So we go back. Mind you, this job is like an hour away from us. So we drive over there. We go back the next morning. When we get there, I'm like, so what's the problem? He didn't want to take pictures of it. He was like, no, you need to come see this. I was like, okay. So no pictures. And he's like, you got to come see it. We pull up over there. And this guy, first of all, he had his collar popped up like this, like up here. He looks so silly. Like he was trying to be like, nah, I'm that guy. And then he pulls up and like, I think he had like a, he had like a nice Mercedes and just like, you know, he's like, oh, you know, I'm definitely going to have to sue if you guys can't fix this. I'm like, what's going on? He's like, go in there and look at the bathroom. So we go in there and we look at the tubs around and sure enough, there's water all over it and it's coming off in like giant sheets. So I was like, what the heck happened here? And he's like, I just took a shower this morning and everything started falling off. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like you took a shower this morning. Like, mind you, I remember I told you guys we were there for like an extra 3 hours. So we did this big job. Two guys, it took a lot of time. These guys wrapped up around like 12 or 1. It was a late night. Come back the next morning and he's saying this. Now, mind you, if he's texting me at 6 a.m., he probably showered around 5. So this thing probably had 5 hours to dry max. This guy used it before it was dry. And then, of course, that's why he didn't want to send pictures because I would have been like, piss off. But also, I had to go back anyway because my dumbass like didn't collect. I should have just collected. I was trying to be fair and I didn't do that. And so I'm like, dude, we told you 24 hours. He's like, you know, you guys told me 24 hours. It's the next day already. I was like, 24 hours, man. Like, not like the moment it strikes midnight, you think it's the next day? It's like, dude, you gave it 5 hours to dry. It's 24 hours. It is the next day to this point. And he was like, this is unacceptable. You guys got to fix this. So obviously we're kind of like pissed off. But anyway, like I was like, dude, I'm not going to do that unless you pay. And he was like, no, whatever. After a lot of back and forth, he agreed to pay me for the work that was agreed upon, right? So not the repair. He paid me for everything else, deposited the check, and he was like, shot. Like we left, and he was like, I'm going to call you guys back to fix it. I got to get the money together, whatever, whatever. Okay. I was like, I'm not fixing this for free. We caulked it. We did everything we said we were going to do. And then a couple days later, he calls us again and he's like just blasting us on the phone. I'm going to sue you and all of this stuff. And, you know, if you don't come fix, this is unacceptable. My lawyer told me that you guys should have had this clearly written out and blah, blah. And I'm just like, what? Call him again. And he was like, no, you guys got to come fix this. Like, I'm not going to pay for it. This service was just done. I bought a service with a warranty. And I'm just like, dude, you voided the warranty the moment you didn't give it 24 hours and used it. And he was like, you can't just arbitrarily end my warranty. And I'm like, number one, I can. And also number two, you voided like the number one rule in wet paint. Like, don't put water on wet paint. Like, duh. And then so after like a lot of discussion and stuff, I was like, dude, I'm not going back unless you pay. And he started saying he's going to sue me, all this stuff, write a bunch of bad reviews, which he never did. I think he knew he was wrong. And again, this guy's kind of loaded. So that's like the other part of the equation too, is like, I'm not for taking advantage of anybody just because you're well off or whatever. But that doesn't mean, like, it doesn't mean that you make a mistake and now get to take advantage of me and my thing. Like, why do you feel like that's okay? And that's kind of like he was trying to like push us around. I feel like that day he kind of came even more standoffish than the first time. So I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. And then I just started getting voicemails. I had a bunch of them. I wish I could play them for you guys because I think it'd be a funny thing. But it was so funny because it got progressively like more unhinged. The first one was like, I'm definitely going to have to sue if you guys don't come. Hangs up. The next one is him in the enclosure that he messed up. It sounded like a horror movie, dude. It was so funny. He's like, it's just, it's coming off the walls. He's like, I can't get it to stop. It's falling off everywhere. I'm like, like, dude, you messed that up. But like, I was like, okay, whatever. You know, with me and my, and the way I rationalize all these things is like, look, once you threaten to sue me, it is a legal threat and everything needs to be handled in writing through attorneys because I do not play that game. Because the last thing I want is to go and try to make the situation right. You already established that if you don't get your way, you're going to take some sort of legal action. So why would I waste the time trying to make you happy when you're like, you won't even take my word for it, like that I'm going to do it. If you don't trust me and you feel like you have to threaten to sue me, then I, at that point, I tell people, and I've done this before, not a lot, but I've done it a couple times with a couple crazies. I tell them, look, all communication is going to be done through email and we need to get attorneys involved. I do not negotiate with terrorists. That's what I tell people. And usually they get mad or they understand and they're like, well, can you please? And then I'm like, everything needs to be in writing from now on and then I'll help you out. I'm not unreasonable. But if they insist on threatening legal action against me, it's not like communication gets cut if they keep on playing that game. And then he sent me the last voicemail, like pretty much like begging for us to come back. But I did not. I honestly, like after threatening to sue me a bunch of times, this guy's well off, could probably actually do it and has the time and money to do so. I was like, is it worth it? I did every part of my obligation on the job. This guy's crazy. And he's also going to look at everything with a fine-tuned comb after all this stuff, right? He's going to pay attention a lot more and be a lot more picky and probably find stuff he doesn't like about the other job now that he messed this thing up. I don't want to deal with people like that, especially people who can't be honest. If you can't be honest, like if you can't be honest and actually have a backbone or you know, credibility like with me, like I'd rather not even work with you and cut ties. So I was like, I respectfully declined him. He went off on a giant tangent, sent me a bajillion text messages. And then I told him, like, dude, here's the thing. You signed the work authorization. This is what we agreed to. This was the warranty terms, everything he knew ahead of time. And I was like, if you continue to harass me, I will sue you. And funny enough, he stopped after that. He stopped full throttle, stopped. And calm down. and then he disappeared off the face of the earth. I haven't heard from him since. But it was a fun experience. Now looking back, in the moment I was stressed out about it. Sometimes, you know, that's an important lesson in business, man. Sometimes things stress you out. And then you look back at them and laugh. Because, like, yeah, this guy was upset. But also, like, so what? Right? I always talk about my thing lately has been, like, I care a lot more about what the 99% of my clients feel than the 1%. I am not out here trying to make everybody happy, but I know that that's impossible, right? So the lesson to be learned with all this, right, is that don't let any one customer ruin your life or ruin your day, right? I've had big opportunities and squandered them. I've had, you know, small, stupid little jobs like this. People get pissed off. It is what it is. It's part of business. You're not ever going to make everybody happy. But what I always try to do, and my goal in life, is to make as many people, as many of my customers happy as possible. And most people abide by their obligations. They abide by what's written. They are kind. And if they mess something up, they own up to it. But when people are being unreasonable, just stick to your guns and do, like, have a policy written and just abide by it. And just, you know, move on. You know, sometimes it's okay to move on. Don't dwell on the past too much. Don't dwell on crazies. Don't think that one review is going to tank you. If you're doing your due diligence as a business owner and you're always out there pushing reviews from the clients that are happy, then you have nothing to worry about. Like, I have 300 five-star reviews. If one person is a crazy guy like Mr. Cherry over there and decides to harpoon me online, it doesn't really matter. Like, they're going to be the one person like yelling at the sky in a sea full of happy customers. And in all honesty, what most customers see when they see one crazy standout review like that is, oh no, this guy's just upset he didn't get his way. Or this guy's like, people are reasonable, man. So again, just to wrap it all up, and then we're going to leave it there. I think you guys out there, you know, I know a lot of people have gone through ebbs and flows and ups and downs in business. Just know, not one customer, not any one customer is going to tank you, ruin your business, ruin your reputation. You should shoot, and this is what I always tell people, if you want to scale your business, right? You want to be able to hand the keys to somebody else and be like, you run it and I'm going to own it. But you guys run the ops and you guys go and do the jobs. You need to be okay with making 99 or 95 or 90% of people happy and being okay with a small percentage of people despising you. Because at the end of the day, sometimes people's expectations are too high, whatever it may be. But the moral of the story is you're not going to be able to make everybody happy. I jumbled the words there a little bit, but you're not going to be able to make everybody happy. That is a rule of life. It is a rule of business. Don't forget it, kids. Learn it, live it, love it. Because that is the truth, baby. But anyway, guys, thank you guys for watching the podcast, listening to the podcast. I really appreciate it. I'm excited, man, that I'm back on here talking with you guys because it is fun. And when I do these solo podcasts, I'm just going to do this front camera thing because my camera is pretty. I love how great this camera quality looks. But also, I'm not going to like utilize this entire big set piece that I have here unless I have guests. So before I leave you, if you are interested in becoming a guest on the Bathtub Refinishing podcast, reach out to us. You could reach out to me at Bathtub Guys on Instagram, or you could reach out to Refinish Bath Solutions. You can call me or text me 689-271-9934. And we could set something up. You can come in person. We can set it up remote. I'd rather you come in person. But yeah, I'm going to leave it there. Appreciate you guys. Love you all. See you guys later. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Bathtub Refinishing Podcast. If you liked what you heard, be sure to keep up with the Bathtub Guys on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram, or visit bathtubguys.com for more. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.